Welcome to Second Floor Therapy, the podcast that talks about education, music education, and living your best life. Hello, I'm Eric Songer, middle school music educator, and this week's episode is on culture. Well, greetings, everybody. Hope you're having a great week. And I'm really excited to talk a little bit today about the climate within your classroom as a teacher. But this goes beyond just building a positive culture in your classroom. This can be the information I'm going to talk about really applies to pretty much anything in your life, whether that's the culture in your workplace, in regardless of what your job is. It could be the culture within your school as a teacher, speaking from just an administrative standpoint. I could also speak to your culture within your friendships, your family, a sports team, your church. I mean, there's so many things in life that these things apply to. And you always want to strive to have a positive culture. And there are some just common denominators of things that we need to work on to make that happen. So first thing I want to talk about today is just the element of getting to know the people in your classroom as a teacher and communication. And again, I'll speak from a teacher standpoint, but regardless of how you're listening to this, I think it applies to so many things in our life too. So when I think about getting to know the students, I always think about how at the beginning of the year, and we've just gone through this, making an effort to really try to get to know every student in your classroom, and not just where they are academically, but where they are personally. What are their interests? What are their likes? What are their dislikes? What are their goals? What are their dreams? What are the things that scare them? And just try to get to know these kids as much as you can, but not just at the beginning of the year, to continue that relationship and the communication with those kids. And then also to be thinking about not only you as a teacher getting to know them, but how can you facilitate the kids getting to know each other. Now, sometimes you have some very extroverted kids that don't really need that push. However, sometimes those extroverted kids are the ones that end up with some social drama that you need to help out with and help try to avoid and to help try to fix those situations. And then you also, of course, have the more introverted students that need a little more push to develop those social skills. So I think that's really important as a teacher. Now, how do we do these things? Well, there's so many responses to that. I think at the beginning of the year, it's just taking the time to push your curriculum aside for a little bit, and to make sure that you're getting to know each other. And that could be done through just simple, hey, we're just going to take a moment, go down the row and share what our favorite hobbies are, what our favorite kind of food is, what our dream job is, or whatever you want to talk about. But then also having opportunities when your kids are involved in group work, saying, okay, before you start this project, just take some time to get to know what each other's goals are on this project, what each other's strengths and weaknesses are. It could be just, do you have a pet? Do you have a favorite food? Do you have a favorite dream vacation spot of someplace you want to visit someday? And just kind of talk about some basic things for the kids to get to know each other. And then as the year goes along, just continuing those open lines of communication and knowing that even though that we have learning targets, we have standards, we have things that we need to achieve, that there's always time to continue building those relationships and to communicate with each other and keep those open lines of communication open. I like to offer during our flex time, our win time, sometimes of what we call therapy, where kids just come up and just talk about life. And I also like to offer extra help sessions. And in those extra help sessions, yeah, we might be working on specific academic things, but we're also just keeping those lines of communication, those lines of talking through things open throughout the year. And I think another great thing to do is to always think about, have some time in your day as a teacher to think about what each student needs. And to, you know, you might have, like me, I have 300 students. I don't have time to spend 10 minutes thinking through what each one of those 300 students needs every single day. But over the course of a few days or a couple of weeks, I can just make an effort to kind of go down a list of like 20 of my kids a day or something like that and think about, okay, what does this student need right now? And what can I do in the next week that I can really reach out to the student and give them what they need? And over the course of many days, I can work through all my 300 students, only to start it all over again, you know, 3 weeks down the road or whatever it is. But I think that's a great way to just mentally think through what they need, maybe do a simple thing. It could be as simple as writing them an email or a note, or giving them some positive feedback of some sort, or giving them some constructive feedback. You know, maybe it's a student that's struggling and you can be like, oh, you're here, work on this. This is going to help you out. Or here, let me sit down with you for 5 minutes and teach you this concept, which is going to help you out in my classroom. So just having that always thinking about what can I do next for this student, I think is really valuable. And then the communication part is, I think, is just so important, that you're never letting a student fall through the cracks, which can be a challenge. But you're always letting that student know, you know, at least on some kind of a regular basis, hey, I'm thinking about you. Here's what we need to do. And here's what I appreciate about you. Here's where you're struggling. Here's what you can do, where I can help you out, those kinds of things. And then also just reading kids. You know, there are kids that you can see that are really struggling, or kids that are, you can see that maybe are sad, or kids that are kind of falling off the face of the earth as far as just their involvement in your classroom or involvement with other kids. And being able to read that and being able to say, hey, I've just noticed things are a little bit off right now. What's going on? Or even if it means bringing in a counselor, or maybe it means talking to other teachers about, hey, are you noticing this too? I think that's important. And again, this applies to so much more than teachers in a classroom. If you're an employer, if you're a boss, you know, keeping these tabs on your employees and letting them know that you care and that you notice that they need some help with stuff. Just being letting people know that you appreciate what they do, even if they're doing well, you know, just say, hey, I really have noticed that you're really working hard. I really appreciate this. Keep up the great work. I think those are great things to do as well. The next element of building a good culture is consistency. And I always like to add that with an element of surprise. But let's talk about consistency for a moment. So I think that when you're talking about building a great climate in your classroom, that you need to have some element of kids know what to expect. They know that the format of the class is going to run in a similar way. They know that you as a person are going to come in and have kind of the same general disposition and expectations every time they come in. They know that it's going to be a safe place to be, that there's not going to be major behavior issues from their peers every time, or they know that things are going to be dealt with fairly. We'll talk about fairness here in a little bit. They know kind of how your expectations are going to be as far as how they do. So everything is fairly consistent. And when I think about my classroom, you know, they come in and almost every day they do a warm-up, and they know what the warm-up is, and I don't even have to tell them, we just start. And then they know after that that we are going to work on some songs and start digging into songs for our concert. And they know that in the process of doing that, there's probably going to be some times that they're going to be playing individually or in very small groups. There's going to be times when they have to sit there and have listened to other small groups play, at which point that they should be listening or looking at their music and thinking about fingerings or rhythms they don't know and trying to work that out in their heads. They know that there's probably going to be a funny story or two or some analogies, or maybe we're going to listen to a snippet of the music to help us get better. And then they know at the end of rehearsal that there's going to be some announcements and there's going to be maybe a couple fun videos, and they're going to have time to put their instruments away, and that they don't have to be stressed about a lot of stuff. And if there is stress, they know that they can come and talk to me about it. So there's a level of consistency in how things work and how the expectations are. Now, I said when I started this segment that there's always an element of surprise, too. I think that a lot of us love the element of surprise. So there's going to be times every now and then where we break away from that. And it'll be done in a fun way. It's not going to be in a scary way, hopefully. And you might have some kids that do really lock into consistency. And so when you do have a surprise, it is scary, even if it's a really fun, awesome surprise. And so you need to make sure that if you have... You know who those kids are, and you can just let them know, hey, just so you know, tomorrow in class, we're going to deviate from the norm a little bit. And I just want to let you know ahead of time that you're going to have something a little different, and maybe even go into details about what that is, so that when they come in, these kids that don't like the surprise know that, okay, I know it's going to be different today, and that's cool because I was told what was going on. But for most kids, I think if it's a pleasant surprise, that can be really fun to throw something at them. I know that on Fridays, we always do something a little bit different than the norm I just explained, and the kids really enjoy that because they know it's going to be something fun and different and something they might really enjoy. So for most of them, they don't have to know what it is. They just know something different's coming, and they love that. The next part about building a great culture is to have belief in who you're working with and give recognition when recognition is due. So I think that the number one thing that we all appreciate as human beings is that people find the goodness in us and have faith in that we can do great things. And so I think as a teacher, that's really important to have every kid know that we believe in them. And that we believe that they can succeed, that we believe that the dreams they have, that those can come true with hard work and dedication and kindness, that we believe that even when they're struggling or even when they're having a bad day, that they can break out of this, that they have the potential. And so we need to express that belief. We need to make that belief clear. And then I think we also want to try to install that in the kids for each other and let kids know that that's important. That's a great characteristic to have with your friends, with your parents, with your peers, that you have belief in each other. So that in my situation in a band where you might be sitting next to somebody who's really struggling playing the fingerings, that you can build that person up and say, hey, let me help you with this a little bit. So you see that note right there? Here's how you finger that note. Or you see that really hard rhythm right there? Just listen to me. I'm playing it. And just follow me. I'll help you with it. So having that belief in each other and then giving recognition when it's due. Sometimes I err on the side of giving too much positive feedback, and it can get to the point where kids are like, yeah, you always say I do a great job, blah, blah, blah. So I have to work on that. And yeah, I want to pump kids up. I want them to feel good about themselves. But I also need to make sure that, you know, a student that's come in and is kind of not focused or isn't putting forth 100% effort, that I'm not saying to them as they leave the room, hey, great rehearsal today. Because, you know, it wasn't really for that particular student. That might be more of going back to the last thing of talking to a student when you notice they're kind of down or not 100% focused and see what's going on. That's what they need. But for a lot of kids, they come in, they put in as much effort as they can. They got a great attitude. Those are the kids who are like, yeah, they deserve a pat on the back, you know, a high five, a fist pump, a smile, just a little recognition to know, hey, I appreciate what you do today. You really put in the effort. You had a great attitude. Thank you for that. And then, of course, sometimes kids go above and beyond, and they deserve probably something more than a fist pump. You know, they might You know, I always like giving out chocolate to kids. You know, hey, that was really, really cool. Our school does the Star Awards or the Pride Awards or whatever they're called, where you can give awards out where they can win prizes and things. And that's cool. And I think that sometimes, you know, an email home to the parents just saying, hey, your child's doing an awesome job. You know, I just want to recognize them for a moment. And then you get even to the point where they deserve extra opportunities or an award or something like that for things that go way above and beyond. So having those opportunities for kids to be recognized and letting them know that you have a belief in them that they can succeed is really important. Along the same lines as belief is trust. And kids knowing that not only do you believe in them, that they have the potential, but that you trust them. And trust is a little bit different in that you are telling these students that, hey, I believe in you, and I believe in you so much that I trust that you are going to do the right thing. And that when I'm not looking or when I'm not in the room or when you're at home, I trust that you're going to make the right decisions. You're going to practice your instruments. You're going to be kind to each other. You are going to get this project done. You are going to go above and beyond at times. And I think that's invaluable, again, as a teacher, but again, in all kinds of situations. Again, if you manage people in your family, in your friendships, at your church, I mean, to have that kind of trust and again, that goes beyond the belief that I'm going to give you this responsibility, and I'm giving this to you because I know that I can trust you to get it done. Or I'm going to put you in charge because I know that people will believe in you and that you will be a great leader. Or I'm going to trust you in this really difficult situation where I know that things could potentially get off track without me looking, but I know you can do this. I have this huge project that needs to be done, and I could do it, but I believe that you can get this done, and there's a lot of people relying on this project to get done. So it'd be very easy for me to say, I don't trust anybody and I'm going to do it, but I think you can do this, and I think you could do this better than me, or I think that you have the potential of being very creative with this. So all those things are so important. And along the same lines with trust comes to that everyone is human and we all make mistakes, and that sometimes that even when we trust somebody to do something, they might screw it up, they might fail. And again, sometimes that failure is not due to a lack of effort or trying or even skill set. And so that we need to pick people up in those situations and say, hey, I still trust you. And there's other times that, you know, somebody might break that trust, and it's not due to a lack of effort or skill set, that they may have done something that could have hurt somebody, or like, I guess it could be physically hurt, but more in the emotional sense, or somebody that just didn't try and said, I'm going to blow this off. And in those situations, then the conversation needs to be around, hey, you know, I want to trust you, but if this is the way you're going to respond when I trust you, then I can't really put that trust in you anymore. We're always working on our reputations, and reputations are hard to rebuild if you've tarnished your reputation. So I think that's really important for kids to know, and actually people of all ages to know. So cool. So a lot of great things to think about. Getting to know and communication, consistency with an element of surprise, belief with recognition when due, and trust with room to make mistakes and pick people up and have conversations when trust is violated. This is going to be a two-part series, because as I'm sitting here looking at the time, I'm like, we can't keep going with all the other points I have about building culture. So there we go. So I hope you enjoyed part one of building culture in our classrooms as teachers, but also in anything in our lives. And this is just such an important component of being successful in life. Building a good climate, having a good culture is so important, not only to success, but happiness. And so think about all these things and how you can instill these into your lives. And fellow teachers, if you have some great ideas, I'd love to hear about them. As teachers, I think we're always looking for great ideas in anything, but when it comes to building a good climate into our room, it is so huge. So I'd love to hear your ideas on things that you do and to help spread the word about this is great. This is great information for us to get better. You can email me, eric@songerstudio.com, eric@songerstudio.com. I'm also on Twitter @ericsonger. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Continue to shine your light on the world and bring joy to everybody. And we'll see you again next week on Second Floor Therapy. We'll be right back.